Welcome back to our episode of Life Lessons. Today, we are going to be reading chapters 8 and 9 of the book of John. And so, I just want to make a quick announcement before we get started. And so, yesterday, in the previous episode, I told you that me and my cousin Grisha are going to be doing it this weekend, on Saturday. So, I really hope it happens. I hope the roads get better. But if the roads continue to get worse, then we will postpone it to do it a different day. Because the roads are just too bad for her to travel here. And so I hope she can make it. And yeah, so if she can't make it, I'll let you guys know. And yeah. Okay, so let's get started. Oh, wait, if you guys haven't checked out my new website, link down in the description below, please go check that out. So let's get started. Okay, so after we're going to be reading chapters 8 and 9, we will discuss it. And so you guys can grab your Bible. Mine is the NIV version, so if you have a different version, it will be slightly different. If you want to grab a journal, you can take notes as we read along. Or, and I'll be highlighting verses once yeah. So, okay. Verse 1, yesterday I forgot a verse, I'm realizing that, okay, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. At dawn he appeared again in the temple courts where all the people gathered around him, and he sat down to teach them. The teachers of the law and the Pharisees brought in a woman caught in adultery. They made her stand before the group and said to Jesus, "Teacher, this woman was caught in the act of adultery. In the law, Moses commanded us to stone such women. Now, what do you say?" They were using a question as a trap in order to have a basis for accusing him. But Jesus bent down and started to write on the ground with his finger. When they kept on questioning him, he straightened up and said to them, "If any one of you is without sin, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." And again he stood down and wrote on the ground. At this verse 9. At this, those who heard began to go away one at a time, the older ones first, until Jesus was left with the woman still standing there. Jesus straightened up and asked her, "Woman, where are they? Has no one condemned you?" No one, sir," she said. "Then neither do I condemn you," Jesus declared. "Now go on and leave your sin." Okay, the next part is called the validity of Jesus' testimony. When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, "I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life." I'm going to highlight that verse. Okay. Okay, we're on verse 13. The Pharisees challenged him. "Here you are appearing as your own witness. Your testimony is not valid." Jesus answered, "Even if I testify on my own behalf, my testimony is valid. For I know where I came from and where I am going. But you have no idea where I come from or where I'm going. You judge by human standards. I pass judgment on no one. But if I do judge, my decisions are right because I am not alone. I stand with the Father who sent me. In your own law, it is written that the testimony of two men is valid. I am one who testifies for myself. My other witness is the Father who sent me." We're on verse 19. Then they asked him, "Who is your father?" "You do not know me or my father," Jesus replied. If you knew me, you would know my father also." He spoke these words while teaching in a temple area near the place where the offerings were put. Yet no one seized him. because his time had not come, had not yet come. Once more, Jesus said to them, I am going away, and you will look for me, and you will die in your sin. Where I go, you cannot come. This made the Jews ask, will he kill himself? Is that why he says, where I go, you cannot come? But he continued, you are from below, I am from above. You are of this world, I am not of this world. I told you that you would die in your sins. If you do not believe that I am the one I claim to be, you will indeed die in your sins. Who are you? They asked. Just what I have been claiming all along, Jesus replied. I have much to say in judgment of you, but he who sent me is reliable, and what I have heard from him, I tell the world. They did not understand that he was telling them about the Father. So Jesus said, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am the one I claim to be, and that I do nothing on my own, but speak just what the Father has taught me. The one who sent me is with me and has not left me alone. For I always do what pleases him. Even as he spoke, many put their faith in him. Next one is called the Children of Abraham. To the Jews who had believed him, Jesus said, If you hold to my teaching, you are really my true disciples. Then you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. They answered him, we are Abraham's descendants, and we have never been slaves of anyone. How can you say that we shall be set free? Jesus replied, I tell you the truth, everyone who sins is a slave to sin. Now, a slave is no permanent place in the family, but a son belongs to it forever. If the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. I know you are Abraham's descendants, yet you are ready to kill me, because you have no room for my word. We're on verse 38. I am telling you what I have seen in the Father's presence, and you do what you have heard from your father. Abraham is our father, and they answered. If you were Abraham's children, said Jesus, then you would do the things Abraham did. As it is, you are determined to kill me, a man who has told you the truth that I heard from God. Abraham did not do such things. You are doing the things your own father does. We are not I do not know how to pronounce that word. I'm sorry if I pronounced it wrong. Children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. The next part is called the children of the devil. Jesus said to them, If God were your father, you would love me, for I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he has sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say, you belong to your father, the devil. Excuse me, sorry. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, but there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Yet because I tell you the truth, you do not believe me. Can any of you prove me guilty of sin? If I am telling the truth, why don't you believe me? He who belongs to God hears what God says. The reason you do not hear is that you do not belong to God. Okay, the next part is called the claims of Jesus about himself. We're on verse 38. 48. Oh my gosh, I keep stuttering. Okay, the Jews answered him, aren't we right in saying that you are a Samaritan and demon-possessed? I am not possessed by a demon, said Jesus, but I honor my Father and you dishonor me. I'm not seeking glory for myself, but there is one who seeks it. He is the judge. I tell you the truth, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. At this, the Jews exclaimed, "Now we know that you are demon possessed. Abraham died, so did the prophets. Yet you say that if anyone keeps your word, he will never taste death. Are you greater than our father Abraham? He died, and so did the prophets. Who do you think you are?" Jesus replied, "If I glorify myself, my glory means nothing. My Father, whom you claim as your God, is the one who glorifies me. Though you do not know him, I know him. If I said I did not, I would be a liar like you. But I do know him and keep his word. Your father Abraham rejoiced at the thought of seeing my day, and he saw it, and he was glad. You are not yet 50 years old," the Jew said to him, "and you have seen Abraham? I tell you the truth," Jesus answered, "before Abraham was born, I am." At this, they picked up the stones to stone him, but Jesus hid himself, slipping away from the temple grounds. And that is the end of chapter 8. Okay, so I'm going to take a quick drink of my water. Okay, so I believe we did highlight the verse. The verse was part of verse 12. I'll just read the whole thing. This is the part I highlighted. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And okay, so if you've been listening to the podcast for a while, you know that we talk a lot about being the light in the darkness. And so that's just being like, that is basically what this that saying is based off this verse. And it doesn't mean like carry a light around in the darkness. It doesn't mean that. It means this world is full of violence. It's full of hatred. It's full of not good. It's full of sin. And you have to be the light for Jesus in the darkness of this world. And I was painting a canvas earlier today, and I was thinking that was one of the options to put on it, but I decided to paint a mountain instead. It says faith can move mountains, and it's really cute. And it's like mountains and a sunset. And okay, anywho, so we are going to read chapter 9 now. Chapter 9 is actually really pretty short. And so, okay, this part is called Jesus Heals a Man Born Blind. As he went along, he saw a man blind from birth. His disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" "Neither this man nor his parents sinned," said Jesus, but this happened so that the work of God may be displayed in his life. As long as it day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming and no one can work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. I'm just gonna like discuss this quick while I know it, because I remember it. So Jesus says, night is coming. That's when no one can work. Night is darkness. Darkness is coming. We are all born sinners. And the only way we can get away from sin is if we are the light. The opposite of it. The opposite of sin is truth. God is truth. The opposite of darkness is light. God is light. And yeah, okay, so we're on verse 6 now. Having said this, he spit on the ground, made some mud with the saliva, and put it into the man's lips. "Go," he told him, "wash in the pool of Siloam. I'm sorry if I'm pronouncing it wrong. I do not know how to pronounce that. This word means scent. So the man went and washed and came home singing. His neighbors and those who had formerly seen the man. Okay, I'm going to start over. I'm sorry I kept stuttering. We're on verse 8. His neighbors and those who had seen him begging asked, "Isn't this the same man who used to sit and beg?" Some claimed that he was. Others said, "No, he only looks like him." But he himself insisted, "I am the man." How then were your eyes opened?" they demanded. He replied, The man they called Jesus made some mud and put it on my eyes. He told me to go to the Siloam and wash. So I went and washed, and then I could see." "Where is this man?" they asked him. "I don't know," he said. Okay, the next part is called "The Pharisees Investigate the Healing." They brought to the Pharisees a man who had been blind. Now the day on which Jesus had made the mud and opened the man's eyes was a Sabbath. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him how he received his sight. "He put mud on his eyes," the man replied, and I washed, and now I see." Some of the Pharisees said, "This man is not from God, for he does not keep the Sabbath." For others asked, "How can a sinner do such miraculous signs?" So they were divided. Finally, they turned again to the blind man. Sorry. Okay. What have you to say about him? It was your eyes he opened," the man replied. "He is a prophet. The Jews still do not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they sent for the man's parents. "Is this your son?" they asked. "Is this the one that you say was born blind? How is it now that he can see?" "We know he is our son," the parents answered. And we know he was born blind, but how can he see now? Or who opened his eyes? We don't know," asked him. "He is of age. He will speak for himself." His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jews. For the Jews have decided that anyone who acknowledged that Jesus was Christ would be put out of the synagogue. That was why his parents said, "He is of age. Ask him." A second time, they summoned the man who had been blind. "Give glory to God," they said. "We know this man is a sinner." He replied, "Whether he is a sinner or not, I don't know. One thing I do know is I was blind, but now I see." Then they asked him, What did he do to you? How did he open your eyes?" He answered, I have told you already, and you did not listen. Why did you want to hear it again? Do you want to become his disciples too?" Then they hurled insults at him and said, "You are the fellow's disciple. We are disciples of Moses. We know that God spoke to Moses, but as for this fellow, we don't even know where he comes from." The man answered, Now that is remarkable. You don't know where he comes from, yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners. He listens to the godly man who does his will. Nobody has ever heard of opening the eyes of a man born blind. But if this man were not from God, he would do nothing. To this they replied, "You were steeped in sin as birth. How dare you lecture us?" And they threw him out. Okay, the next part is called spiritual blindness. And there's only about 6 verses. Jesus heard, we are in verse 35, by the way. Jesus heard that they had thrown him out, and when he found out, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of Man? Who is he, sir?" the man asked. Tell me so that I may believe in him." Jesus said, "You have now seen him. In fact, he is the one speaking with you." Then the man said, "Lord, I believe," and he worshipped him. Jesus said, "For judgment I have come into the world, so that the blind will see, and those who see will become blind." Some Pharisees who were with him and heard him say this asked, What are we blind to?" Jesus said, "If you were blind, you would not be guilty of sin. But now that you claim you can see, your guilt remains." And that is the end of chapter 9. Next time, I don't know when it will be, we're going to read chapters 10 and maybe 11. 11's kind of long. And I like chapter 10 because it's another one. The first verse is, "I tell you the truth, the man who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate." Okay, it's basically God's telling him that, "I tell you the truth, I am the way." Like, no, he's not the way, the truth, and life. Well, he is, but like, it's not in this one. It's that he is the shepherd for the sheep, and we'll talk more about that next time. But that is all we have for today, friends. Thank you guys so much for listening. Please go check out my brother's podcast, Jason Charles, my cousin's podcast, Creation of Books and More, my cousin's YouTube channel, Gigi Tutorials, my website link down in the description below. Thank you guys so much for listening. Have a great week. Have fun. See you next time. Bye!